do they really want to perform for you? I think that's a whole nother animal in itself. I have experienced that with hiring people, and all of a sudden they just get that lack of will to show up on time, or they're too busy playing on their phones, or they're looking on the internet too much. They're really not performing. They're just a warm body. And then you have the flip side where you have a warm body and that's all you have is a warm body. They have no sense of perception of work ethic. So you have the ones that work, but they're just giving you poor production. And then you have the warm body that has no production. So I think staffing is a huge issue.
Welcome to the Making Money Podcast, where we talk about how to make more money, keep what you make, and make your money work harder for you. I am your co-host, Benjamin Foss, and before I introduce Paul, I have to say this is not financial advice. Sitting across from me, as always, is the wonderful entrepreneur, business owner, and tax expert, Paul Ng. Paul, how are you today, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you.
We are going to continue our series today on how to unstuck your business. Last week, we spoke a little bit about the importance of understanding the goals of your business, your competition, kind of zooming out in big picture that goes beyond the big picture of your business, but the big picture of your market and of your industry. Now we're going to zoom in just a little bit to the big picture of your business specifically with three questions that we have come up with and selected to help you unstuck your business. Again, the purpose of this series is to help business owners and entrepreneurs who are in a place where their business is kind of plateaued, struggling, or even declining. And what are the questions that you should be asking as a business owner in order to ramp up your business and prosper in 2025 and beyond? So, Paul, the first question we have, and this is one of my favorites, what is the biggest constraint in my business right now? So some examples of, you know, when we talk about constraint, it's the biggest limiting factor. So I used to build computers with my dad, and when you're selecting your RAM, your processor, your graphics card, your power supply, and all that, when you're talking about performance, you would talk about in terms of bottlenecks of like, what is the weakest link in this chain that is the putting the ceiling on the performance of this machine? You know, you might have the most high-end processor and the most high-end latest NVIDIA graphics card, but if you only have 4 gigabytes of RAM in modern standards, like that's going to really hinder your performance, right? So when we talk about the constraint of your business, it's really the bottleneck. Like, what is the thing that's keeping you from growing? So some examples of that would be leads. Are you not getting enough leads in? Or it could be the conversion rate. Maybe you have a lot of potential leads, you know, clicks on your website, phone calls, responses to ads, but you're not converting those leads into customers or clients. It could be staff. Do you have enough people to handle the volume that's going in? It could be systems that you have in place. So, Paul, talk to us a little bit about, like, what are some of the most common constraints that you see in businesses and maybe from your own experience in your own businesses?
Well, Ben, I feel in today's world, staffing is a huge issue. Ever since COVID, it's just become an anomaly why employers can't keep their staff long term. It seems that a lot of times people just don't show up and they're showing up as they want to, or they kind of quit on the spot because they feel they're not getting their value worth out of this job, or they feel that, well, I just don't want to work full time and I just want to do some side gig. And that happens more often than not. In my experience recently in the last year, I've had a lot of problems trying to hire staff, not keep them, but literally hire them. It seems that their expectations are a lot more of a grander illusion in their head than what really is out in the real world when you're working for somebody. Another thing that comes to mind is when you get the staff hired, do they really want to perform for you? I think that's a whole nother animal in itself. I have experienced that with hiring people and all of a sudden they just get that lack of will to show up on time, or they're too busy playing on their phones, or they're looking on the internet too much. They're really not performing. They're just a warm body. And then you have the flip side where you have a warm body and that's all you have is a warm body. They have no sense of perception of work ethic. So you have the ones that work, but they're just giving you poor production. And then you have the warm body that has no production. So I think staffing is a huge issue. Some of the other things is the way that technology has taken a step up over the last couple of years, and being able to use technology in a manner of its appropriateness, I guess, especially with AI and AI bots and chat bots and you name it bot. I think that is also a constraint in a business, because as a business owner myself, I don't have much experience in that. And so I need to get a little educated in using the new technology, as we're going to call it, or the wave of the future. I become that fuddy-duddy that nobody wants to become, but I have become the one that I said I wouldn't. But that's okay. I'm comfortable with being a fuddy-duddy. But we really do need to keep up with the times. It really is a matter of applying yourself to what the technology has available for us as a business owner, or technology for us as an individual, so that we're able to apply ourselves, not just for work's sake, but literally for our own purposes.
Yeah. And it's interesting you bring up staffing, because I was actually just talking with Angela Reinbacher, who was a guest on the podcast a couple months ago. And she talked about how even just in the month of January, she had four different employees that she hired, and three of them didn't work out for one reason or another. And then there's one good worker. So it's a 25% success rate.
Yeah. That's not very good.
Yeah. And so over the month of January, even though the business experienced a lot of growth, there was an element of her having to return to some of the grunt work just to keep the wheels turning, even though that's not what she wants to do. That's not even necessarily her best place as the owner of the business to be going and doing like the easy, cheap labor stuff. But sometimes that's what you have to do, because you're growing and you can't find enough quality staff fast enough in order to do all of those things. And so you have to sometimes put on that, the grunt hat, and get it done.
Absolutely. And being a smart business owner, I think is the right way of saying it, is an employer and an owner operator should be able to do all facets of their business, especially if it's grown from their home, you know, a home-based business that grew into a thriving business, which is now a multi-whatever type of business we're going to call it. It really requires the owner and operator of the business to know how to do all facets. And if not to be able to do all facets, understand the concept behind what those job titles are, or the job descriptions that you're going to have fill those positions. Understanding that's huge. You don't want to be that absentee owner where you own this business and that's all you do.
You know? Yeah.
If something goes awry, you have to call on somebody. And if that person's already been fired or they're no longer there, there's a problem, right? And so that could be a huge constraint, not knowing how to continue the business without that person filling that spot, or training somebody before that spot is replaced.
I think along those lines, the more you know about your business, the better equipped you are to even understand what the constraints are. If you don't know, especially as you grow, if you have 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 employees and you start getting an HR department and a sales department and a fulfillment department and a quality control or whatever it may be, the more detached you become from the various departments, the harder it is for you to really know what's going on. What are the dragons they're trying to slay? What are the issues they're coming up with? What are the constraints of each department, much less the business as a whole? So I think as a business owner, yeah, the more involved you can be, it doesn't mean you have to be talking to each department every day. It doesn't mean that you have to be doing the work yourself, but if you don't know what's going on in the various departments, like how can you even know what the constraints are? What's going well? What's not going well?
Absolutely. And one of the biggest things about being a business owner and not knowing is your finances and your profitability.
Yeah.
A lot of times business owners just look at what's in the bank account and that's all they care about. There's money to spend. But the reality is understanding, is the business even profitable? There might be money in the bank, but it's really not making a profit. It could be the residual income from the previous year. So understanding your finances is huge, and always consult your accountant or your bookkeeper to see where things lie so you understand that you should or should not be spending in such a manner.
One of the factors that we didn't touch on here, but it kind of leads into the next question, is this idea of churn. Because if you are losing customers repeat, like let's just say, for example, you have a gym and you have, let's say you're getting 10 or 20 people to sign up for your gym every month, but you're losing 10 or 20 people who are canceling every month, then you're just treading water.
Exactly.
Right? So the constraint of your business might be simply the churn, and that you're having to invest so much money and time and effort and advertising just to maintain the same thing. And so then you need to go and dive into why is my churn so high? There's people are leaving for a reason, or people are not returning to buy my product again for a reason. What is that reason? Maybe there are macroeconomic factors that are outside your control, but there are factors that are inside your control. There's factors of the customer experience, the quality of the product, the quality of the service, whatever particular kind of business you have. You can go and look at these factors and maybe do some exit interviews. If you have something like a gym, have your people do exit interviews, have some kind of customer feedback funnel, I guess you might call it, so that you can understand why you have that churn. Because like I said, if you're just treading water, that's going to be a fundamental constraint of your business. And it's going to be a constraint on the efficiency and the profitability of your business, because then you're constantly having to, it's like you're the value of each customer that you get goes down because they're not with you for as long, because eventually they're leaving in 6 months or 3 months or whatever, or they're only buying your product one time. Hey everyone, quick break from the show. If you found this information useful, if you think the show is beneficial and helpful, take a moment, like, subscribe, rate the podcast, and pick one or two people from your contacts that you think would benefit from this free information and the knowledge that we're giving you. Send them the link. Let them know that you found the show helpful. It's the only way we're going to grow. We're not paying for ads. We're not doing sponsorships or selling products. We're just here to help you make more money. Thank you so much for listening. And with that, back to the show. That kind of leads us into the second question, which is, are you measuring the right things? And, you know, you can't understand what's going on in the business if you're not tracking and measuring the various things that are going on. That would include things such as your CAC, or customer acquisition cost. How much money do you have to spend in advertising, outreach, cold calling, whatever it is, in order to get a new customer? Next one would be LTV. What is the long-term value of each customer or client that you have? How much on average does someone spend with you over the lifetime that they're with you? And this looks very different for each industry and business. For example, a company like Coca-Cola, your average purchase amount is very small, but each customer may spend thousands or maybe even tens of thousands of dollars on Coke products over the course of their life, you know, over 50 plus years, depending on how long they continuously consume those products. Whereas if you have a high cost service business, like a personal styling business where someone's paying $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 over the course of a year to remake their wardrobe and their sense of style in the world, That whole, like, the LTV looks very different, because maybe the amounts are similar, but how the amount number of transactions that it takes to get to that amount are very different. We talked about churn a little bit. Conversion rate is another one. Maybe you're getting a lot of leads to your website or calls into your sales center, but you're not converting those leads. What percentage of those leads are you converting? And what is considered a good conversion rate for your industry? So those are some different stats and some numbers. Paul, is there anything you would add to that? Or what are your thoughts on some of those key metrics?
Well, I think another key metric really is to impress upon, are you a necessity or are you a want? I mean, that's huge in my eyes. And if you're a want, how do we convert that into people's mind that you're a need? You know, and a lot of times it's frivolous spendings. I get it. We already do our impulsive shopping. So we know that it's impulsive, compulsive, whatever it is, and boom, we buy it. So that's a want, clearly, right? But you also have those things that are specific needs that you need, or are they a necessity at that point? Because I need to have this. I need to have this becomes that want. I want, I want, I want. But the necessity really is important. It's necessary to have insurance. It's necessary to have a roof over your head. It's necessary to have a job. It's necessary to have a car. Those are the four laws of Maslow's hierarchy, actually, but that wasn't where I was going. Kind of funny, but really it's trying to get that conversion into people's mindset to keep your business going. So am I trying to convert them into the mindset that yes, they need to come to my gym and yes, they need to spend money at my gym, or is it a need and a necessity in their life that they need to have the gym to stay healthy? And it's a necessity in their life because in versus that want. So the mindset change, I think, is also an integral part of these conversions that we're talking about. The churn rate, and that is huge. I absolutely implore anyone who owns a business to really look at that churn and find out why there's this big churn going on. Maybe there's a flaw in what you're doing. And I don't know what that flaw is because every business is different, right? And you can't put blame on one thing because there's a catalyst. So once again, we have to look at these conversions and these changes. What was the catalyst that caused that? We have to go step one step back to look at the nature cause of why. Once you discover that, all these things that are conversion problems, or we'll call them interferences out there, can be fixed in some manner. And it's really applying yourself to find out the thing that's causing it, really. And in layman terms, it really is, I just need to figure it out. You know, we don't need to use fancy words or anything. It's just figure out what that problem is and how it got there and how to fix it. And sometimes it takes a little bit of effort, and sometimes it takes a lot of effort, and sometimes it takes a lot of group interaction. So maybe talk to your staff and get some ideas versus trying to take that all on yourself.
Yeah, and the way you approach that will vary depending on the size of the business that you have, but we talked about in the first question, a possible constraint of the business could be systems. And that really ties into this because you need systems in place to measure these things. And if you're not measuring these things, then you have no way of knowing the health of your business. You don't know what's going wrong. It's kind of like having a patient that's sick, but not having any medical equipment to diagnose what the problem is. So these systems are what you need to put in place in order to measure certain metrics so that you even have the picture of understanding what's going on. You know, a lot of times in sports, we love stats. We get to see, you know, what is their in football, like the offense, what are they ranking in passing and rushing, and the defense, what is their passing and rushing and special teams and all these things. Teams love metrics and stats because it helps them get a picture of what's really going on and how effective they really are being in various situations versus the perception of how it feels. And I love putting numbers to things because it really does help get out of the emotion. It helps get out of your head, and it helps give you a really objective picture of what's going on and not just how it feels.
Agreed. 100%. The numbers tell it all, like they say. Numbers don't lie.
They don't lie unless the numbers are wrong. unless you're so not measuring things correctly. So our third and final question for this week is, am I making the most of technology that's available to boost my business? Things like websites, social media, AI software, etc.
I think technology is amazing and scary all in the same breath. I myself am afraid of technology. And once again, I become that person that I said I never would. Whereas when I was younger, I couldn't wait to get the latest phone, couldn't wait to get the latest little TV or computer gadget or whatever it was. And today, I'm afraid to upgrade. I'm afraid to get the new phone. I'm afraid to like get something that I have to learn because I've gotten so comfortable. And a great example is media, social media. I have never, ever once have I used Instagram or Twitter to post anything. I am a old school here. Let me put it on Facebook, and that's about as far as I go. I have not learned how to use LinkedIn appropriately to do searches for people or trying to utilize Facebook to stalk people, as they would say, or utilize AI chatbot. I actually don't even know what that is. I vaguely understand what it does, but I have never gone on and had it write me something by giving it some info or even go in there to even see how it actually does what it does. So a great point here is technology and how to embrace it. And I'm one of those that's afraid. So Ben, let's have you enlighten all of our listeners over here and viewers to see what it is that technology can do for us.
Well, I wanted to bring up this particular topic because we had Sasha on a couple weeks ago, and one of the points she hit on with her restaurant and sort of navigating and surviving COVID was the pandemic really forced her to embrace technology in a way that they hadn't embraced before. So in the year of our Lord, 2020, her business, her restaurant did not have a website. They did not even have a phone number to call. So, I mean, these are, you know, people say if you don't have a web presence, you don't exist. And I think that aphorism is said for good reason, or that phrase is said for good reason, because it's true. And sometimes it takes a crisis or a disruption of the routine and of the norm to get to shake us out of that comfort zone, like you were talking about, to embrace the technology. And of course, right now, AI is the hot topic, right? That's what everyone's talking about, and AI tools and this and that. And AI can definitely be very, very useful. And I think depending on the kind of business that you have and what you're doing, it's very much worth exploring, like, what tasks can you automate without sacrificing quality in your business? A lot of it is low-level grunt work. It's very routine tasks, very programmable tasks. I actually saw a video the other day where this guy was getting, he has like the pro version of ChatGPT, which has more capabilities than even like the normal version does. He got it to write, to shop Facebook Marketplace for free pianos, because people will give away pianos for free at times because they cost more to move and dispose of than they're worth sometimes. And offer these people, I will come take your piano for $200. And so ChatGPT is searching free pianos within his metro area, sending these offers, and then creating a spreadsheet of who was messaged and whether or not they responded on Google Sheets.
OMG, that's way smarter than me.
It was pretty cool. Now, yeah, it's still at the stage where he was having to kind of babysit it and tell it what to do every step of the way, and it kept stopping. It's like, no, you can keep going. It has all these safeguards and stuff. So I thought, well, like, the amount of time you're spending telling it what to do, you could copy and paste the same message and do it. Like, but the point is, like, if you explore these tools and even learn what they're capable of, then ideas will come into your head as time goes on of like, oh, I know it can do this. I wonder if it could do this over here. So a lot of times a big new technology like AI comes and we kind of have this deer in the headlights of, this is this big, amorphous, ambiguous, scary, complicated thing, and I don't really know what it does. But it's as you familiarize with yourself with the capabilities of that tool set that you kind of remove the mist and the fog from it. And then over time, you'll come up with ideas for how it could be useful for you. Like I had a thought recently. I was like, well, you know, I have a website now and I have a form where people could submit. Could I implement an AI chatbot that automatically like responds to people and follows up and then filters out the spam that I get? Because I'm getting like one a day. I'm getting people offering me their SEO services and this and that through my website form submission. So maybe I could have AI like filter that. So, but I only had that idea because I've seen other people implement similar things. I've explored those tool sets a little bit. So I would say the first thing with the technology is embrace the fear, muster up some courage, and give yourself time to explore what those opportunities are. Or if you have a young, very tech savvy employee who's eager, an eager beaver with some of these things, maybe assign it to them and say, hey, I want you to spend 4 hours today of your 8-hour workday, and I want you to explore technology and tools and give me like a report on what you think we should implement to improve the business. You know, if you want to outsource that, then feel free to outsource it. But I think you won't, if you don't even know what the tools are capable of, you'll have no idea how to implement them. So I think the first step is learn what the capabilities of the tools are, and then the ideas will follow.
I agree 100%. Embrace. That's what we need to do. Embrace the technology and learn about it. I'm one of those that is about to embark into the journey of embracing.
Yeah, and that's part of what we're doing. I mean, with this podcast, we're venturing into video, we're venturing into social, more and more social media, and I'm embracing also, like, not necessarily new technologies, but using technology in ways that I have not used it before. You know, my appraisal business has been largely relegated to just lenders, working directly with lenders. So I haven't had any need for a website or a business card because they just have my email address. I sign up on their portal. It's all like very direct. And lenders don't go searching on Google for appraisers like a normal, like average person might. So I'm learning to embrace the technology and like building a website and learning SEO, search engine optimization, and Google AdWords, things like that, trying to optimize and modernize my business even more for the future.
That's exciting, Ben. Absolutely.
It is exciting. So we would love to hear from you all on your thoughts on the series and what questions you have to unstuck your business. We would love to give some real feedback to you. So please like, subscribe, comment, share the podcast with someone, and let us know what you think. And we will see you in the next one.